This is Gulf Coast Life. I'm Julie Glenn. Thanks for joining us. According to state health officials, Florida has had 216 confirmed cases of coronavirus so far, including 195 cases in Florida residents, 21 cases in non-Florida residents, 6 Floridians diagnosed and in isolation out of state, and 7 deaths. As the number of new cases continues to grow, last night Governor Ron DeSantis announced that all public and private schools in the state will now remain closed through April 15th. Schools are being encouraged to use virtual or other non-classroom-based distance learning options. To that end, the Florida Department of Education, in partnership with Florida Virtual Schools, plans to train an additional 10,000 teachers statewide on virtual teacher training for COVID-19. Institutions within the state university system, including Florida Gulf Coast University, will be continuing distance learning through the end of the semester, and all commencement events celebrating graduates this spring have been canceled. Florida officials also announced Tuesday that they will waive testing requirements this spring for public school students. Education Commissioner Richard Corcoran says the state will reevaluate after mid-April if kids should be allowed back on campus. Meanwhile, President Donald Trump and former Vice President Joe Biden both held commanding leads in Florida's presidential preference primary election Tuesday. Trump had collected more than 93% of Republican votes, while nearly 62% of Democratic voters cast ballots for Biden. Total voter turnout was just shy of 30%. Concerns over coronavirus seemed to significantly impact voter turnout at the polls during yesterday's election, and the virus could affect future elections. From our sister station WUSF in Tampa, Stephanie Colombini spoke with Hillsborough County Supervisor of Elections Craig Latimer about how they're preparing for local elections this summer. Let's hear that conversation now.
Moving forward in August, there's a lot of talk, and we're already seeing it in some other states, that we may end up with an all-vote-by-mail election in August. We have to start recruiting poll workers in May, and they're talking about, this thing kind of peaking in July or August. So I think there's a real good possibility, and I haven't spoken to anybody at the state about this. I'm just guessing at this point. That may be about the only way we could run the election because we won't have the personnel. We lost polling sites this time because of fears from the coronavirus that people didn't want to be polling sites anymore. There's a real good potential. I know I just saw that Maryland is going to move forward with a mail election, as is Ohio. And there's other states that do it. Oregon, Washington State do all mail ballots. Colorado, they mail a ballot to every voter, and then you turn them back in to what they call vote centers, but it's just really a drop-off spot for your vote-by-mail ballot.
An August election, that's for local county offices?
And state primaries. Those are primary elections. The school board judges, constitutionals. Then you'll have, if a state representative has opposition in their party. So, again, it's a nominating process for the parties, although people with no party affiliation or other minor parties can vote in all of the nonpartisan races, which are the judges and the school board.
So a lot of the people that are, really making direct impact on everyday life here in Florida, that's going to be an important election.
It is. I tell people all the time, that they're the ones that are really affecting your pocketbook a lot more than at the federal level. And they're also the ones that you have to depend on to fix the potholes in your roads and make sure that your kids are getting a good education.
So your office is kind of making those sort of preparations now or in the very near future just to be ready in case?
Well, I can tell you as soon as this election's over, we're going to be talking with the state, talking with the Secretary of State. And, just based on some of the conversations I've had with some of my colleagues around the area, we're all in the same situation that it would be difficult to recruit poll workers. It will be difficult to establish polling sites. As we move forward with this and everything that I'm seeing from the CDC and that's coming out of the White House and other officials up there is that, we haven't seen the top of this peak yet.
Craig Latimer, Hillsborough County Supervisor of Elections, thanks so much for talking with me.
Thank you.
That was Stephanie Colombini in Tampa. Saying that many people live paycheck to paycheck, Governor Ron DeSantis has endorsed a plan that would have the federal government send financial assistance to residents as quickly as possible. The idea has gained rapid traction in Washington, D.C., as the nation's economy is under assault by shutdowns and disruptions caused by this viral outbreak. Many Floridians working in hospitality-related fields are also concerned about how they'll continue making a living, as Governor Ron DeSantis issued an executive order last night closing bars and nightclubs statewide for 30 days. Ryan Daly spoke with one bar owner who's grappling with the uncertainty of her employees' livelihoods.
This morning when I got the news saying he was going to do it, my first reaction was I broke down and started crying.
Laura Lowe has owned the Palace Saloon on Jackson Bluff Road for 12 years. Now she's having to scramble for a plan to take care of her 11 employees as the state has shuttered her bar and all others in Florida for a month.
I have employees that I take care of their health insurance and I pay, you know, they get a paycheck and they make tips, and how are they going to pay their rent? How are they going to buy groceries?
Lowe plans to apply for the state's emergency bridge loans for small businesses, which are interest-free up to 1 year with a maximum loan amount of $50,000. The loan program was opened by Governor Ron DeSantis this week. It's one more thing for Lowe to think about as she prepares for the month ahead.
I told my employees, don't worry about covering their insurance. I would take care of and pay for their insurance. That we would find a way. There is, Governor DeSantis put out a thing saying there's a loan that they can give out to businesses that you have to pay back in 1 year interest-free. And if I can do that, then I will.
When it comes to how Lowe is processing the news, it's complicated. Fears about the public health risks of the COVID-19 virus hit close to home for her.
I'm 50-50 on this whole thing because my mom has had cancer for the last 5 years, so she's done her last round of chemo a couple weeks ago, and my dad is in his 70s, so I understand that for the elderly that we have to be careful with them.
Still, Lowe questions why businesses like hers have been shuttered when others can continue operating but under stringent rules. Restaurants are ordered to limit dine-in customers to 50% of capacity and seat patrons 6 feet apart.
The Palace is mostly young people, college kids, and if the restaurants and businesses are allowed to stay at 50% capacity, why can't we? I mean, we can, you know, make it to where we only have 50% of people in here at a time, because bottom line, it's going to hurt. We're trying to figure out what to do that we can help our employees and pay the bills.
On Tuesday, when the executive order was announced, Lowe kept the Palace Saloon open until 5 p.m. as long as she could, on what would have been its St. Patrick's Day celebration. I'm Ryan Daly.
In Southwest Florida, more than 63,000 people are employed in the service industry, meaning hotels and restaurants. Another 73,000 work in retail. This is according to the Southwest Florida Economic Development Alliance's latest numbers. And with bars and nightclubs closed for at least 30 days and restaurants ordered to operate at 50% capacity to try to prevent the spread of coronavirus, the financial impact is hard to fathom. Joining me now for a closer look at the local economic impact of these coronavirus-related closures is Rafael Feliciano with Food Idea Group, which is a local marketing and public relations company that specializes in representing the hospitality industry. Rafael, first tell me a little bit about who you work with. You represent how many restaurants?
So the Food Idea Group, we work with hundreds of restaurants here in Southwest Florida on a client basis, on an event basis. So we're really engulfed here in the food and hospitality scene.
So hundreds, and from what geographical area?
Yeah, so we represent restaurants and work with restaurants from Marco Island all the way up to Cape Coral and you know, the Bonita, Fort Myers, Naples, a lot of Naples, heavy Naples restaurants, but we're all over Southwest Florida.
So how have your clients been reacting to the coronavirus outbreak, and how has that reaction evolved?
It's devastating. It's devastating in the sense of it's a fear of an unknown. You know, if you watch the other states and what the government's doing and just how they're mandating, you're just kind of wondering what's next. And for the hospitality industry, for our clients, you know, the industry is not really based off large margins like other industries. It's a very much a passion industry for people, servicing people, you know, doing things they love creatively. And, you know, if things don't change, you know, the hospitality industry is going to take a huge hit. And you have every restaurant thinking about right now, you know, this is season. This is where I'm making my money. You have employees that are this is the time where they do all of their business so they can prepare for the summer. It's a very trying time for the hospitality industry.
How important is high season for Southwest Florida restaurants? I mean, how much of their annual income would you estimate is made between like Christmas and Easter, which is the traditional season?
It is without a doubt anywhere between 70% and 80% of their business. I mean, you know, Southwest Florida, although we're growing and the market has been growing and we're becoming more full time, the time from November to, you know, Mother's Day, Easter, that around that time frame, that's about 80% of their business. That's where they pay their bills. That's where they plan for the summer. That's where, you know, that's why there's such a heavy push. That's why we all joke about the snowbirds. That's why, you know, we have all these things. But that this time, is, and we are in March, and this started in late February. This is their peak time for business.
Well, in the very beginning of this, we didn't see a whole lot of fear. And I'm thinking that maybe restaurants at the very, very beginning, they kind of felt more defiant, like, oh, no, we're fine. Nobody's coughing in here. We're okay. But it seems like now the reality is starting to set in. That even if you have an asymptomatic person sitting there in front of you, they have an allergy sneeze or something, they could throw something your way. People seem to be understanding more like, oh, yeah, this we kind of do need to do this. I mean, have you noticed that restaurateurs, nightclub owners and bars are kind of seeing more like we do responsibly need to cut back on our interactions?
I think like everything else, you know, Americans, we saw it on the other side of the world, and you know, we knew it was there and we took it lightly. And then as it started progressing towards us, we're like, okay, this is serious. And then when you see the bigger cities like New York and Los Angeles really take these mandated orders, that's when we're like, okay, now we have to really prepare for it. I mean, if you look at where we're at now, yesterday, DeSantis said, you know, no bars, no clubs. If you have a restaurant, you know, 10 people or less, 6 feet spacing, you know, focus on 50% capacity. Now restaurants, whether you were listening or not, whether you took it serious or not, now they're planning for it and now they're doing the things they need to do. I don't want to say – I don't think it came out of nowhere because I think we've been all – you know, this is the digital age where you can stay in contact and see what's going on.
But denial is very comfortable when you're walking into the part of the year when you have 80% of your income.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, late February, early March, when, you know, reservations were going down and you read OpenTable and Resy talking about reservations going down, they were seeing that. And I think at a point now, we're all in it together. I think the restaurants see that and they've all come to the realization that this is something that's going to happen. We just have to plan for it day by day. And just keep pushing what they're pushing for. You've seen a lot of restaurants adapt already. Some of them have been proactive and they've already closed down for whatever reasons. But, you know, some corporate chains can handle it. A small mom and pop can't necessarily do that. So they've implemented a lot of to-go, a lot of delivery, offering things for those people that are afraid to go out. And if you want to go to a restaurant, we've had many, many restaurants release media alerts, press releases talking about the extra precautions they're taking for sanitation and food safety. And it's just, unfortunately, this is the time we're living in. This is 2020 March.
Mm-hmm. Have you noticed a difference in different places and their traffic patterns?
Oh, yeah. So it's actually kind of interesting. Outside of the people that are, you know, the brave ones that just want to go out anywhere and they don't, you know, and they just want to just go out. Definitely what I've seen is, or what we're hearing is that the higher traffic areas like downtown Fort Myers, downtown Naples has been really light. But the restaurants that have been busy that are still doing a good amount of business are your destination restaurants. A restaurant where you can park, you can go in, you can do your meal, have a few drinks, and then get back in your car and leave.
Kind of like the surgical strike kind of places.
Kind of like the surgical strike. And, you know, restaurants that are offering happy hours or if they're, you know, I think right now this is a time because, you know, most restaurants aren't spending money on advertising, but what are they using? They're using the digital age of social media to get to their guests. I think the restaurants are going to – the most successful ones are the ones that are using social media, implementing it, and showing people not just, hey, we're making a statement, but we're showing you what actions that we're taking to make you feel safe to come here.
So we were talking about businesses and how businesses are going to be handling this and how it's going to be tough on – the people that own the restaurants, mom and pop restaurants, but the people that work there are really going to be taking a hit. They are they represent tens of thousands of people in Southwest Florida. I think upwards of 65,000 people in our area are working in the hotel and restaurant industry, and the hotels are also hurting. These individuals, this time of year is critical for them too, because you were mentioning to me before we got into the studio here, they're not paycheck to paycheck. They're night to night, shift to shift.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think the biggest message I can give anyone, and this goes for hospitality people as well as the consumers that are supporting hospitality, is that don't forget when you say that the restaurants get 80% of their business during our season to carry them for the rest of the year, that also goes for the employee. That goes for the server, the bartender, the cooks. Like, that goes for those people as well. So they absolutely correct. These people are not paycheck to paycheck. They don't have typically, you know, X amount of money in the bank to support these things. I was in hospitality, working hospitality for 10 years before I got into this side of the business. Their paycheck, or their night to night, shift to shift, shifts are already cut down. So now if you look at it now where you have shifts that are cut down or no shifts at all, when you do go to your restaurant, you know, some of the suggestions I would say is be, you know, if you can tip a little bit better, do so. You know, help know that these people, if you're afraid of going to the restaurant or if you have this fear of what everything that's going on, be mindful of the person that's actually working it, serving your food.
It has to go into work because they don't really have a choice.
They have no choice and they're fearful too. And if you're a hospitality employee, if you're a staff person, my advice to you is save your money. Don't go out, you know, try to be frugal with your money. You don't know what the future holds. We don't really know what the future holds. Right now it's day to day in Florida. Take your money, make your shifts, you know, prepare for the future, buy your, you know, get your canned goods. And if you're someone supporting a restaurant, you can order to go. You could buy gift cards. There's lots of ways you can support the business that are more than just, you know, dining inside if that's not what you're for.
I've seen people questioning in some restaurant groups on social media. So what is the what are you supposed to do if you're going in and you're picking up stuff carry out? Are you supposed to tip? Are you supposed to tip the person that gives it to you? Are you supposed to tip the host? Where does that go?
So there's
a lot of questioning. What is going to happen?
Yeah. Well, typically with to-go's, if you should tip. It's a good practice to tip. You know, even if you're tipping just the standard 15 to 18%, that tip goes to the people that are preparing your food.
And they make what an hour? Like if you're a host or a hostess or server?
It's like $5.50
or
$6.20. I mean, it's not $15 an hour, I can tell you that. You know, because people are making their money off tips, you know, and people are still preparing their food. I can tell you that in the restaurants that we've worked with and the ones that we talk to, even on a regular basis, I mean, everyone's wearing gloves. Sanitation is absolutely at an all-time high. You have people even wearing masks at the doors. Now, it's one of those things where it's a catch-22 because if you see it, you're actually helping the fear. But
you don't want to present like my place is unclean and here I have a mask on.
Exactly.
You don't know how it's going to be taken by the audience.
You don't. But it's kind of the nature of the business right now. You want everyone to feel safe, even if you're overdoing it. And I think that's the most important thing right now.
Yeah, people are really. So what have you heard from restaurants in places where they've had these lockdowns? For example, we are hearing a lot about New York, the state of Washington, San Francisco. Have you heard anything about what restaurants are going through in those places?
Oh, my God. So, I mean, obviously, New York, I mean, it's the mecca of tourism and travel. So, you know, they're on that huge mandatory lockdown, which who knows what it's going to do for business. But there's the report that we just read was in Washington state, there's over 50 restaurants that have wrote letters to the governor saying, listen, we understand that this is the decision that you're making, but this is the last time we're going to open our doors. I mean, they're literally already just looking at their financials and how they've been impacted with the margins that they have, that their restaurant is not going to make it through this lockdown. And just imagine what that's going to do. I think the number that I saw, I mean, it's such a multi-billion-dollar industry that restaurants have. And, you know, maybe this is a good time for us to really reevaluate how the restaurant industry is and our margins being so slim and trying to operate that way. I mean, right now, everyone's just, we're in panic mode. We're trying to survive, but we have to really see through the clouds and look into the future of hospitality because, you know, this might be a huge downturn like 2007 was for, you know, real estate. But then, you know, there's also going to be a boom too. There's going to be an upward slope and we have to prepare for that as well.
Yeah, ending on kind of a high note, looking way past all of this, I'm talking into like next year or the year after, you're forecasting that there will be a bit of a bump. in restaurant industry?
I mean, just look at, 2007, huge financial crisis, real estate got hit affected. And I'll use real estate agents as an industry too. So, if you weren't a real estate agent in 2007 that was really doing a lot of business, you got knocked out of the business really hard. You look at that same for hospitality, people, servers, restaurants, people are going to close. Just like COVID-19, people are going to die. That's the unfortunate reality. Restaurants are going to close because they can't make it through this. But what we can look forward to is just like real estate in 2012, 13, 14, that slope, that increase of business, that, that injection into the economy, into the stock market, that's also going to happen in the restaurant industry. And that's what we should be thinking about, maybe not planning for today, but in the next few weeks, next few months, like that's where, companies like our company or companies like our small mom and pop restaurants, that's where we need to look at, because it's going to happen. There's going to be a surge and there's going to be another, injection into the industry, into the market. So I would say like those are things that we need to look forward to on the positive side of what's going to happen here.
It's always so fun to talk to you because you always bring up the positive.
I mean, what else we got right now?
Yeah, no kidding. If you missed any of today's show, you can always hear episodes in their entirety on our website, or you can subscribe to our podcast feed wherever you get your podcasts. Our show today was produced by Mike Kinnairy. Our director is Richard Chin Kui. Our social media coordinator is Tara Callaghan. For now, thanks for listening. I'm Julie Glenn. This is WGCU-FM Fort Myers, 90.1, WMKO Marco Island, 91.7 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida.